Sammy J.
Let's talk creative juices.
If our communication fails, I've reconnected.
In the early 1990s, Dean Manning was rolling around the Sydney music scene in a band called Leonardo's Bride, featuring Abby Dobson on vocals. They'd released their first EP independently, then got signed to Mushroom Records for their debut album. But every debut album needs a flashpoint. A song that the world can get behind, a song that can drive people to buy the full album. Where did it come from? What moment or moments led to this particular seminal 90s earworm? Let's find out. This is Lightning Strikes.
Lightning Strikes!
Good morning, Dean Manning.
Good morning, Sammy J.
Did I paint an accurate picture of the heady early 90s just then?
Well, I was there, but it was all a bit of a blur. But, it was fun.
You wrote the beautiful song that we've just heard that every listener will be familiar with. What came first, Dean? Was it the music, was it the lyrics, or was it the pressure from the record label to create a hit single?
Definitely not the last one. It all came together. The words came with the melody, and it all just fell out very quickly.
It's an incredibly economical song as far as lyrics go. Like it's there's not a lot of words, to be honest.
Well, that's kind of my thing, really. I do embrace simplicity. And that actually became a sticking point later on, the simplicity of the song.
Before we get to that, Dean, was it a, and this is, I really don't know whether to ask this question because you've probably been asked it a lot, but did you know when you finished, I know this was a quick write as you just said this song, did you know it was something special that would resonate when you finished it, or is it like going fishing, you just throw it out there and you weren't even sure yourself?
I knew that it was a good piece of work, and so did Abby and so did friends. There was 5 years between writing the song and then when we actually came to play it. So there was hesitation involved.
And that first performance, was there a reaction there in the room that made you think, yeah, okay, I'm onto something here?
Well, we never played it live before we recorded it, which was very unusual. When we every song on Angel Blood and most of our records had been, or most of the songs had been really road worn, but Even When I'm Sleeping had never been performed before we committed to tape.
Which is perhaps what the record label was thinking should have happened, as I understand it, Dean, because the song comes out, but then you have a particular meeting takes place.
Well, the song came out and everyone agreed that there was definitely something special about it. The only people who didn't agree were the radio programmers, and nobody would play it on the radio. It was a frustrating period for the record company more than us. But Mushroom, to their credit, they just kept plugging away, and it took months, maybe 6 months. Everybody there just working really hard, and in the meantime they were exploring every other possibility, and one of the possibilities was that maybe the song needed something else. It was too simple, or something. So they set me up. I had a meeting with a producer who at the time was probably the hottest guy on the planet. He had a string of hits, and so he and I sat down and had a long chat about it. And
but this is after the song is already opinion. In the world, like after the song has come out, they're telling you to possibly make changes.
Well, it hadn't. The first single had come out. The song had been recorded, mixed, mastered. Pretty sure they'd even done pressings of the record. No one was pressuring me to, rethink things. It was just one option to, but it was the option that fell upon me. I couldn't physically go and pressure radio programs, but I could be open to the idea of reworking the song.
I'm chatting to Dean Manning of former band Leonardo's Bride, the author and composer of Even When I'm Sleeping, about, well, what sounds like it wasn't an instant hit by any means. It took some plugging away. What was your reaction then? I'm not sure if the finished version of the song that we all know, Dean, contains changes that you ultimately decided you should make for commercial reasons.
Well, ultimately, I couldn't do anything else with it. I felt I'd given everything I had to the song writing-wise. I thought the group had performed it beautifully. And so I felt like a bit of a cow at the time, but I just had to tell everyone, look, I'm really sorry, I don't agree with what this gentleman says, and I'd rather write another song. So we kind of walked away and left it the way it was.
And then was it after that that you were proven correct?
After that, no. It did well, but it wasn't. It took a lot more work. And one of the champions, one of the absolute champions, was Daryl Summers, who had us on Hey Hey It's Saturday to play the song. And, I mean, the crazy thing was we were relatively unknown, and so there we are playing this ballad on Hey Hey It's Saturday. And nothing happened. It just... And then Daryl had us on again a month later to play the same song, which is insane. And after that, it started sort of getting traction. After that, people started ringing, requesting it. Well, and I think that's when it all changed.
Dean, I'm going to declare the Hey Hey repeat performance your lightning strikes
lightning
moment.
Strikes.
I was also on Hey Hey It's Saturday, but I don't think I'm still getting royalties for my crappy song in the same way you hopefully are. I really appreciate your time this morning. It's, of course, it's a beautiful song, and it's lovely to hear a bit more about how it was created.
Thanks, Sammy.
Dean Manning there, composer of Even When I'm Sleeping. Back in the day when you could sing a song twice on Australian television, not only live on Australian television, but twice in one month.